Welcome to Health Simplified. Today, we're diving deep into something you might not think about much, but, well, it significantly impacts your sleep and health.
The science of sleeping in a cold room.
Yeah, it's a surprisingly important topic.
You shared some fascinating articles with us, and we're going to try and unpack what the research really says. Our mission today is basically to cut through the noise and give you, the learner, the clear, insightful takeaways on this chilly topic.
Okay, sounds good. So let's maybe start with that fundamental connection between body temperature and sleep.
Yeah, definitely. Where do we begin?
Well, it's really fascinating how linked these are. As you know, the learner, our bodies run on this roughly 24-hour cycle, the circadian rhythm.
Right.
And a key signal within that rhythm is our core body temperature fluctuating.
Okay.
So as we get closer to sleep, our internal thermostat actually starts to, lower. It cools down.
Awesome.
And that cooling process, that's a crucial signal to the brain. It's basically saying, okay, time to rest. That makes a lot of sense intuitively, like the body's powering down for the night.
Exactly.
And I remember reading something about skin temperature playing a part in this too. How does that work?
Absolutely. Our peripheral skin temperature, so think hands and feet especially, it actually increases.
Increases. That seems backward.
It does seem backward.
Yeah.
But it's through a process called vasodilation.
Mm.
Basically, the blood vessels near the skin surface open up. They expand.
Yeah.
Think of it like opening radiator valves to let heat out. That increased blood flow to the skin, to the extremities, helps dissipate heat from your core.
Ah, so you warm up the surface to cool down the center?
Precisely. It facilitates that overall cooling.
Hmm.
And actually, some studies have shown that just warming your feet before bed can actually shorten the time it takes you to fall asleep, your sleep latency.
Wow. Warming your feet helps your core cool down faster. That is counterintuitive, but really interesting.
It is.
So, okay, what happens then if our bedroom is, you know, too warm? How does that mess with this natural process?
Well, if the environment's too warm, it directly interferes.
Yeah.
Your body just can't cool down efficiently.
Right.
It has to work harder to try and lose that excess heat and that extra effort. It can make it significantly harder to, well, both fall asleep and stay asleep.
Like trying to run a computer when the fan's broken?
That's a great analogy, yeah.
Yeah.
It overheats and struggles.
Okay, so our bodies really need that temperature drop to get sleep going and keep it going. Which brings us to the big question, I'm sure. What's the ideal temperature? Is there a magic number for the thermostat?
Huh, the magic number. Well, research points towards an ideal range, somewhere between 60 and 67 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
That's about 15.6 to 19.4 Celsius.
60 to 67 Fahrenheit?
Yeah. Within that range, your body seems to regulate its temperature best throughout the night, through all the sleep cycles. It minimizes disruptions from being too hot or too cold.
And I sometimes see 65 degrees mentioned specifically.
You do, yeah. 65 Fahrenheit often gets cited as kind of optimal. But it's really important to remember there's individual variation.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. People feel temperature differently.
Exactly. Some people might feel better at the cooler end of that range, some at the warmer end. Physiology plays a part too.
Makes sense. It's a range, not one single number. I also saw a Harvard study mention people fell asleep faster when their body temp was lowest, around 97.7 Fahrenheit. How does the room temperature connect to that?
Right. So the ambient room temperature, the air around you, creates the environment that either helps or hinders your body's natural cooling.
Okay.
When the room's in that ideal cooler range, say 60 to 67, it just makes it easier for your body to shed heat and reach that lower core temperature that signals sleep time.
So it helps the body get where it needs to go naturally.
Exactly. If the room's too warm, it's just, well, it's fighting against that process. It's much harder work for your body.
So it's less about just feeling cozy and more about facilitating biology. Okay. Now, how does temperature affect the different stages of sleep? Like, does a cooler room mean more deep sleep or REM sleep?
Now this is where it gets a bit nuanced. The learner. Some studies, really controlled ones, sometimes with people semi-nude.
Semi-nude. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Direct exposure.
Right. Those studies show that extreme temperatures, both much hotter and much colder than what's called the thermal neutral zone, that's around 84 Fahrenheit.
84? That's quite warm.
It is. But temperatures way off that mark, high or low, can mess with sleep architecture. They tend to increase wakefulness and cut down on REM and slow wave or deep sleep.
Okay. But that's in extreme conditions, maybe without blankets. What about real life, you know, in bed with pajamas and covers?
Good question. And yeah, it changes things. In more realistic scenarios with bedding and clothes, it seems like heat exposure is actually the more disruptive factor for sleep stages.
Really? More than cold?
Apparently so, especially for young adults and older folks. Being too hot under the covers seems to lead to more waking up during the night and less slow-wave sleep and REM sleep, particularly earlier in the night. Our bodies just seem more sensitive to overheating when it comes to messing up those sleep stages.
So that feeling of tossing and turning because you're hot isn't just discomfort, it's actually reflecting a change in sleep stages.
Precisely. Now, when we look at sleeping in a cooler room, within that recommended range, the impact on the stages themselves isn't as clear-cut, especially when we're using blankets and things. What's really interesting here is something called the bed climate temperature.
Bed climate.
Yeah, basically the temperature and humidity right there in your immediate sleeping space, the microclimate under your duvet, essentially.
Ah, the little coon we make.
Exactly. And our bedding does a pretty good job of keeping that microclimate relatively stable, even if the room temperature outside the covers fluctuates a bit.
So the blankets buffer us.
Right, and that stable microclimate seems to protect our sleep stages more effectively from moderate cold than it protects us from heat.
So our cozy bedding is better at keeping the cold out in terms of sleep stages than keeping the heat out. That makes sense.
It does seem that way.
But I also read something suggesting that even if we don't feel cold, a cooler room might have other effects, more subtle ones.
You're absolutely right. So while a moderately cool room might not drastically change your sleep stages when you're bundled up, research shows it can significantly affect your cardiac autonomic activity during sleep.
Cardiac autonomic activity.
Oh.
Okay, what does that mean in practice?
Okay, so studies have seen a decrease in something called the LFHF ratio and heart rate variability. It's a measure from your heart rate.
LFHF ratio.
Lower.
Yeah, lower. Especially during stage two sleep and slow wave sleep. And that decrease generally suggests an increase in parasympathetic nervous system
Not the
activities.
parasympathetic. That's the rest and digest system tone, as opposed to fight or flight.
Exactly. So it suggests your body is shifting towards a state of deeper relaxation and recovery, even in response to the cooler air.
And what's really fascinating is this can happen even if you don't subjectively feel cold. You might feel perfectly fine under the covers.
Wow.
Some researchers think this underlying physiological response could be maybe a contributing factor to why we see more cardiovascular events, like heart attacks, during colder times of the year.
So even if I feel snug, my heart might be responding differently to that cool room air without me knowing.
That seems to be the idea, yeah. It's a subtle but potentially important effect. And it's why some health advice stresses keeping bedroom temperatures above a certain minimum, maybe around 50 Fahrenheit or 10 Celsius, especially for older people or those with heart conditions in winter.
That's definitely something to consider. It's not just about feeling rested, is it?
No, the impact can be broader.
Okay, so moving beyond just avoiding problems, are there actual benefits to aiming for that cooler range? It sounds like it might do more than just help us sleep comfortably.
Oh, absolutely. The research suggests several potential pluses. First, as we discussed, it can help you fall asleep faster.
Right, by helping that natural cool down.
Exactly. Sets the stage. Second, many people just report better quality sleep, fewer wake-ups during the night, feeling more properly rested in the morning.
That deeper, more solid sleep we're all chasing. Makes sense. What else?
Well, interestingly, some research hints that sleeping cool might even give your metabolism a little nudge.
Metabolism, how?
The idea involves brown fat. It's a type of fat, sometimes called good fat, that actually generates heat when activated.
Okay.
The theory is, in a cooler environment, your body might activate more brown fat to help maintain your core temperature. And that process burns calories.
Burn calories while sleeping. Sign me up.
Well, it's likely not a huge amount, certainly not a weight loss strategy on its own, but it's a fascinating potential side effect.
Still interesting. Anything else?
Yes, cooler temperatures might also support the natural production of melatonin.
The sleep hormone.
The sleep hormone, exactly, which, also has antioxidant properties and links to mood. So optimizing melatonin is good all around. And possibly a cooler sleep environment could contribute to better overall hormonal balance, potentially helping the release of things like growth hormone during the night. That's important for repair and regeneration.
Wow. So faster sleep onset, better quality sleep, maybe a slight metabolic boost, better melatonin, maybe even better hormone balance. It sounds like getting the temperature right is actually quite powerful.
It seems to be a surprisingly impactful factor, yes.
But we should probably talk about the flip side too. Can it be too cold? Are there downsides to really cranking down the thermostat?
Yes, Definitely. It's a balance. Cooler is generally better than too warm, but too cold can cause issues.
Like what?
Well, for some people, feeling genuinely uncomfortably cold makes it hard to fall asleep in the first place.
Yeah, if my feet are like ice blocks, I just can't drift off.
Exactly. And you might wake up more during the night just due to that cold discomfort. Finding your comfortable cool spot is key.
Okay, what else?
For people with certain respiratory conditions, like asthma or COPD, breathing in very cold air might irritate their airways, potentially make breathing a bit harder.
Ah, okay, that's important.
And for those with circulation issues, really cold temps might, inhibit blood flow a bit too much. There's also a sort of theoretical concern that being excessively cold could potentially dampen the immune response slightly, as the body diverts resources to staying warm.
Makes sense.
And finally, some people find that very cold rooms can make muscle stiffness or joint pain worse, especially if they have things like arthritis or fibromyalgia.
Right. So cool, not frigid. Moderation, as always.
Pretty much. Find that sweet spot within the recommended range.
So let's get practical. What are some actionable things we can do, the learner listening, get our bedroom temperature optimized?
Okay, several good strategies. First, obviously, setting the thermostat. Aim for that 60 to 67 Fahrenheit range, or 15.6 to 19.4 Celsius. But experiment within it. See what feels best for you.
Find your personal number.
Exactly. Then think about bedding. Use breathable, natural fabrics. Cotton, linen, bamboo are good choices. They help regulate temperature and wick moisture better than synthetics typically do.
Yeah, I definitely sleep better in cotton sheets than polyester.
Makes a difference.
Yeah.
And if you naturally sleep hot, even in a cool room, maybe look into a cooling mattress or a cooling mattress topper. They're specifically designed to draw heat away.
Those exist. Interesting.
They do. Also, fans, ceiling fans, portable fans, great for air circulation. That moving air helps you feel cooler, even if the actual temperature isn't super low.
Good point. Creates a wind chill effect.
Sort of, yeah. And don't forget blocking out daytime heat. Blackout curtains can make a big difference in stopping your room from baking in the sun all day, especially in summer.
Simple but effective. Any other tricks?
Well, in cooler weather, if it's nice outside, opening a window for a bit before bed can be a great natural way to cool the room down.
Right, flush out the warmer air.
And layering blankets is smart. It gives you flexibility.
Yeah.
Too warm, kick one off. Too cool, add it back. Much easier than changing the thermostat constantly.
Allows for personal adjustment through the night.
Exactly. Oh, and one more simple one. A cool or lukewarm shower before bed can help lower your core body temperature a bit, giving you a head start on that natural cooling process.
These are all really practical tips, things people can actually try tonight. It sounds like making these adjustments can really pay off.
I think so. It's about understanding that science, we talked about the body's need to cool down, and then creating an environment that supports it rather than fights it.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up for you, the learner. Let's unpack what this all really means. It seems like the sweet spot for sleep isn't about being super toasty under the covers, is it?
No, it really leans towards embracing a cooler environment, one that works with your body's natural temperature rhythm.
And the research highlights that even if you don't feel the effects of a slightly cool room on your sleep stages directly because of your bedding,
Right, the microclimate.
it could still be quietly influencing things like your cardiovascular system, your autonomic nervous system, which makes finding that optimal temperature range maybe even more important than we thought.
I think that's a fair takeaway, yeah.
And the potential benefits falling asleep faster, maybe better quality sleep, that possible metabolic boost,
Okay.
they're certainly, well, compelling.
They are, but as we said, it's a balance.
Right. Being too cold definitely has its own drawbacks, from discomfort to potentially aggravating certain health conditions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Needs that personalization.
So what does this all boil down to? It really suggests that consciously fine-tuning your bedroom temperature, maybe playing around within that 60 to 67 degree range, and thinking about your bedding. It's actually a surprisingly powerful tool.
A tool for optimizing not just your sleep, but potentially your overall well-being too.
Exactly. A simple dial change with potentially big effects. Thank you for taking the time out to listen to our deep dive. Until next time, stay healthy and stay informed.